الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تنسوا العظيمتين قلنا وما العظيمتان يا رسول الله قال الجنة والنار أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wired this human being, this part of the psyche is inherent, part of the nature of man, that every human being is driven by the desire to achieve success. This entire bagdor of the dunya that is taking place. Every morning we see millions and billions of people converging on the places of commercial enterprise. Time is expended, energy is expended. Behind this is essentially the motivation and desire to become successful. What is success? Unfortunately, we are living in a primarily materialistic era, where such a drive, this batil propaganda machinery is espousing its message 24 hours of every day. Whether it's the school, whether it's the universities, whether it is the so-called educational institutes, whether it is the media, wherever we turn, one basic message is being sounded out, that the success of man is determined by how much of the material wealth of this world he is able to amass. In fact, the whole classification of society today is that. We classify people, they say, low class. Who is low class? Low income. Middle class, middle income. Top class, high class, VIP, the big earners. The whole classification of society, people are determination, relationships are determined, attitude towards one another, the way we treat one another, respect somebody who is very wealthy, look down upon somebody who is very poor. Behind this is the psychology. Paisa, paisa, paisa. Acquire the material wealth of this world. This is honor for you. This is dignity. You will become famous. You will be well known. People will look up to you. In fact, there's a poem. I mentioned it before. It's crude. We don't like to mention it also. But it sums up the reality of this. Where the poet says, يَمْشِ الْفَقِيرُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ ضِدُّهُ يَمْشِ الْفَقِيرُ وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ ضِدُّهُ تَرَاهُ مُبْغِضًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ يَرَى الْعَدَاوَةَ وَلَا يَرَى أَسْبَابَهَا حتى أن الكلاب إذا رأت ذا ثروة خضعت لديه وحركت أذنابها، وإذا رأت يوما فقيرا غابرا نبحت عليه وقشرت أنيابها. The poet says, the poor man walks, clothes are tattered and torn, body is full of dust. The whole world is against him. No one respects him. No one is prepared to give him the time of day. تَرَاهُ مُبْغِذًا. He sees the hatred. He sees the way you scoff down at him. He sees the way you totally have no respect for him. تَرَاهُ مُبْغِذًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ. He hasn't committed a crime. Poverty is Allah's distribution. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah says, we have decided, we have distributed wealth. This concept or idea that if you are rich, this gives you somehow superiority over a poor person, this is ignorance. تَرَاهُ مُبْغِدًا وَلَيْسَ بِمُذْنِبٍ. He sees the hatred. He hasn't committed a crime. يَرَى الْعَدَاوَةَ وَلَا يَرَى أَسْبَابَهَا. He sees the way you scoff at him. He doesn't know what the cause is. And then, look at how the poet analyzes. He says, such is this environment. Such is this conditioning of the mind, what we call zehn sazi, that is going on, paisa, 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 that it has even affected the animals. When a dog sees a poor man, it barks at him, chases him. When it sees a rich man, it stretches out its forepaws and it wags its tail. So what is the underlying message? That this mentality or psychology to determine the worth of individuals on the basis of material wealth, or whether the guy is wearing a Hugo Boss suit, or he's driving a Mercedes Benz, or he lives in a palace, this psychology is in fact the mentality of a dog, of animals. Insan ke qeemat bahar ke sarmaya se nahi bante hai. The value of this human being, wallah, is not determined by what is outside. Insan ki qeemat andar ke sarmaya se bante hai. The value of this human being in that court which really counts, in that court which really counts, the value of the human being will be what is inside. Was this heart beating with Allah's taqwa? Did he fear Allah? Because wallah, my respected brothers, if Allah's fear is not in this heart, if Allah's fear is not in this heart, then it reduces a human being to an animal no worse than an animal. As a husband, he will treat his wife worse than an animal. As a father, he will treat his children as an oppressor. If he is a businessman, he will lie, he will cheat, he will deceive. He will usurp the rights of others. Why? The only deterrent that will stop insan from doing that is the khawf, taqwa and khashiyat of Allah. Success one is our concept or idea of who is successful. In the academic field we say if he's got a few PhDs or written a few theories or theses or he's got some degrees, he is successful. In the financial field we say if he's got business acumen, he is successful. Or if he's got a few businesses or industries. My respected brothers, there is another court that is coming. There is another court that is coming and there is no escaping that court. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. You think it is very far away. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. We are telling you that it is very, very near. That day is coming. That day is coming. وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. Allah says, the scales of true justice will be set upon them. That is the day it will be decided who is successful, who failed. This entire masala, this entire issue, what is success? What is failure? Am I going in a direction where I will succeed or fail? Quran sums it up in one expression, one verse. This is that knowledge which reached us from the Arsh of Allah, untainted through the agency of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is that knowledge, this is that sachai, this is that haqiqat, this is that reality, la rayba fi, there can be no doubt in it. To doubt one letter of it is kufr. This is Allah's kalam. This is Allah's kalam. Accept it or don't accept it. Understand it or don't understand it. Whether it appeals to your logic or not. Quran has summed up this question for us. Who has succeeded, who has failed? One expression. Allah says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. He who is safe from Jahannam. He who is saved from Jahannam and enters Jannat, he has succeeded. Whether he lived in a hut, whether he lived in a hut, whether he didn't know where his next meal was coming from, his clothes may have been tattered and torn, he may have had nothing of this world, society may have classed him as zero, the whole world may have looked down upon him. But on that day, if the announcement is made, Inna fulan abna fulanin, قَدْ سَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ وَسَعِدَ سَعَادَةً لَا يَشْقَى بَعْدَهَا أَبَدًا. Fula, the son of Fula, so and so. His scale of deeds are weighty. His scale of deeds are weighty. He has reached saadat, dignity, honor. After this he will know no loss. That is success. On the other hand, may have been a millionaire or a billionaire, may have had 1,000 people working for him. Whole world may have looked up to him. This is the epitome of success. This is the top 100. This is the top 50. People may have classified, this is the goal. Run after this. But in that court, the announcement is made. Inna fulan abna fulanin. Qad khaffat mawazinuhu. Wa shaqiya shaqaan. La yas'ad ba'daha abada. Fula bin fula, so and so. His scale of deeds is light. His scale of deeds is light. He has entered into halakat and destruction, the like of which there will be no dignity and honor after. قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ذُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ذُلَلٌ ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ. Who are the losers? Who are the failures? Those who failed in their exam, no. Those who didn't meet their financial targets, no. Those whose worldly aspirations and desires were not fulfilled, no. Who are the losers? Allah says, Quran says, ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمُ الْحَقِّ. Haq, haq, this is haq. Who are the losers? They are those who put themselves and their families into loss on the day of judgment. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah says, this is the great loss. لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ذُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ. From above their heads will be fire. From beneath their feet will be fire. نَارَ نَخَاتَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Their rooms will be made out of fire. لَهُمْ مِنْ جَهَنَّمَ مِهَادٌ وَمِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ غَوَاشٌ. Their bedding will be out of fire. Their blanket will be out of fire. سَرَابِيلُهُمْ مِنْ قَطِرَانٍ. Their pants will be out of black tar, out of fire. تَغْشَى وُجُوهَهُمُ النَّارِ. Their faces will be covered with fire. This is the loss. This is the loss that Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam came to instill this reality in humanity. One verse in the Quran, Surah Luqman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this verse is ajeeb. In fact, this entire ruku in Surah Luqman is ajeeb. Time is limited, I'm not going to the detail. But one verse, Allah Ta'ala starts this ruku. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِذُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Remember that time when Luqman the wise said to his son, Ya Bunayya, he was advising him, Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son, La Tushrik Billah, do not ascribe partners with Allah. Part of that same ruku is this verse, where Allah says, Luqman said to his son, Ya Bunayya, Innaha, In takum ithqala habbatin min khardal, Fatakun fi sakhra, أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. Luqman said to his son, Oh my beloved son, that action which you will do, that action which you will do, before I translate, ask ourselves this question. Allah could have said directly. Allah could have said directly. What is the need for Quran to say, remember the time Luqman said to his son? Why? The concepts that are mentioned in this ruku is tawheed, akhirat, salah, akhlaq. These are general concepts. These are Quranic concepts. These are Nabawi concepts. What was the need for Allah to say, Luqman said to his son? In this is ishara. In this is indication. In this is an injunction to every father of this ummah, every mother of this ummah, every muallim of this ummah. That inna allaha sa'ilun kulla rajulin amma star'a hafidha amdaya hafidha amdaya. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every one of you that was given children, every father of this ummah, Allah blessed you with that wealth, Allah blessed you with that amanat, and the day is coming, Allah is going to ask you about it. Allah is going to question every father of this ummah. Allah is going to question every mother of this ummah. Allah is going to question every muallim of this ummah about that amanat that was given. Hafizam daya'a. Did you protect that amanat? Did you nurture it? Did you develop it? Or did you destroy it? What were the seeds that you planted? What were the seeds that you planted in the heart of that child? Did you instill the love of Allah, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Allah's obedience, the love of Allah's commands? Did you instill the fikr of akhirat, the ihsas of akhirat, the shauq for jannat, the khawf for jahannam? Or what did you plant in the heart of that child? Every father of this ummah will be questioned by Allah. This is an amanat, this is a trust. Those children which Allah blessed us with are a great wealth to earn our akhirat, and also a great means, Allah protect us, of destroying our akhirat. Ya Bunayya, O my beloved son. In other words, every father is commanded in your home, make this effort on your child. Make this muzakara before your child. What muzakara? Innaha, that action which you do. In takum ithqala habbatin min khardal. It may be smaller than a grain of mustard seed. An action which you do, smaller than a grain of mustard seed. Fatakun fi sakhra. Then it is hidden underneath a boulder. O fi samawat, somewhere in the heavens. O fil ardh, somewhere in the earth. Look at this analogy. That action which you do, smaller than a grain of mustard seed, hidden underneath a boulder, somewhere in the heavens, somewhere in the earth. Oh my beloved son, a day is coming. Ya'ati biha Allah. Even that action, Allah will bring it in front of you. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Allah has knowledge of everything. Ihsas of akhirat. Perception of akhirat. Ihsas of jaza and saza. The reminder of accountability. It's not eat, drink, sleep and die and no accountability, no. Reminder that every action you are accountable for. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلِ. Every word you utter. إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Allah says, my angels are writing it down. بَلَا وَرُسُلُنَا لَدَيْهِمْ يَكْتُبُونَ. Every word you utter is being written down. Every movement of your eye, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْآيُنِ وَمَا تُقْفِ السُّدُورِ. Each time your eye strays, recorded. وَمَا تُقْفِ السُّدُورِ. What you conceal in your chest, recorded. This perception, this understanding, this ihsas, this muzakara, qabr, jannat, jahannam. The famous hadith, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is the narrator, right on the onset of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't want his ummah to miss 1 second of this great opportunity, this great gift that Allah gave. That is why Salman Farsi says, Khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi akhir yawm min Shaban. Last day of Shaban it was. Ramadan was about to start. He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered us and addressed us. What did he say? Ya ayyuhan nas, qad adallakum shahrun azeemun mubarakun. شهر فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر شهر جعل الله صيامه فريضة وقيام ليله تطوعا من تقرب فيه بخصلة كان كمن أدى فريضة فيما سواه ومن أدى فريضة فيه كان كمن أدى 70 فريضة فيما سواه إلى آخر الحديث. O my ummah, O humanity, a great month has come, a blessed month has come, a month of auspiciousness has come, a month which, in which there is a night better than 1,000 months, a month when you will do a nafil, Allah will reward you with fard. You will do a fard, Allah will multiply it 70 times. In that same hadith, after having enumerated the value, the dignity, the auspiciousness, the, how precious this month is, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exhorted his ummah, what must you do? What must you do? Ramadan is here now. This opportunity is here now. What must my ummah do specially? He mentioned 4 things. وَاسْتَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنْ أَرْبَعِ خِصَالِ خَصْلَتَيْنِ تُرْدُونَ بِهِمَا رَبَّكُمْ خَصْلَتَيْنِ لَا غِنَى بِكُمْ عَنْهُمَا. He said, oh my ummah, in this month, increase 4 things. 2 things, you will please Allah. Shahadat la ilaha illallah. Wa tastaghfirunahu. The shahadat of la ilaha illallah. And istighfar. And two things. La ghina bikum anhuma. He said, oh my ummah, these second 2 things you cannot do without. You cannot do without. تَسْأَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ وَتَعَوَّذُونَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. In this month of Ramadan, excessively ask Allah for Jannah. Beg Allah for Jannah. Seek Allah's protection from Jahannam in this month. Unfortunately today, because deen has become a ritual, many of us are going through the motions. We don't understand the reality. Allah's Rasul is not only telling us to ask. Hasan Basri rahimahullah used to say, Man qala inni uhibbul Jannah. That man who says, I love Jannah, but his actions of the people of Jahannam, he is a liar in his claim that he loves Jannah. The one who says, Inni akhafun nar, I fear Jahannam, but his actions are of the people of Jahannam. He says in his claim that he fears Jahannam, he is a liar. It's not just a question of dua. One person used to come by the Mawli Sahib all the time, Mawlana, make dua for me. What dua? Allah must give me children. Years is coming. Mawlana, make dua, Allah give me children. Mawlana, make dua, Allah give me children. One day he entered the Mawlana and he asked him, Bhai, are you married? He says, no. He says, Pagal, you fool. What do you mean? With the dua, there has to be dawa. With the dua, there has to be that effort. Allah's Rasul is not just saying, ask Allah for Jannah. Make that effort that will make you a Jannati. Make that effort that will distance you from Jahannam. This muzakara, this talk, Jannat, Jahannam, Qabr, Akhirat, 1,000 verses in the Quran. 1,000 verses in the Quran, Allah speaks of Jannat and Jahannam. And today the talk has come out of the ummah. The hadith I mentioned in the beginning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, never forget the 2 great things. Never forget the 2 great things. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, what are these 2 things we must never forget? He said, Al-Jannata wa-Nar. Al-Jannata wa-Nar. He said, Akthiru mas'alata Allahi al-Jannah. He said, my ummah, excessively ask Allah for Jannah. Excessively wasta'idu bihi minan nar. Excessively seek Allah's protection from Jahannam. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jannat and Jahannam also will intercede. They also will intercede. That person who excessively asks for Jannat, Jannat will make dua for him. And that person who excessively seeks protection from Jahannam, Jahannam will make dua that Allah should protect him. This talk of Akhirat, talk of Jannat and Jahannam, this was a daily occurrence. In the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the verse of the Quran is read. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, قو أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. Oh, you believe, save yourselves and your families. Save yourselves and your families. Naran from Jahannam. And then what does Allah say? وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ. The fuel of Jahannam is men and stones. فَقَامَ شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. An elderly sahabi stood up. Ya Rasulallah, such an environment was created in Madinah Munawwara that wallah, it was almost as if they were seeing Jannat and Jahannam. These were not abstract concepts to Sahaba Ikram. It was almost as if it was in front of them. So this elderly man stands up, أَحِجَارَةُ جَهَنَّمْ كَحِجَارَةِ الدُّنْيَا. He says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me. Allah says that the fuel of Jahannam will be men and stones. So this means there are going to be stones in Jahannam. Ya Rasulullah, are the stones of Jahannam like the stones of this world? Are the stones of Jahannam like... Appreciate the type of question. In other words, these were realities to them. Are the stones of Jahannam like the stones of this world? Allahu Akbar. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَصَخْرَةٌ مِّن صَخْرِ جَهَنَّمْ كَأَعْظَمِ جِبَالِ الدُّنْيَا كُلِّهَا. He says, one pebble of Jahannam, its girth, its size, its magnanimity, it is as enormous as the largest mountain range of this world. One pebble in Jahannam. When this elderly person hears this, he starts breathing heavily. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam rushes forward. قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. He says, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and he passes away on the spot. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reads the verse of the Quran, ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامِي وَخَافَ وَعِيدٍ. That person who will fear, that person who will fear standing in Allah's court, Allah will save him from that fear. Allah will save him from Jahannam if in this world he will develop the khawf of Akhirat. The stalk of Jannat and Jahannam. One Bedouin, Arab. Ordinary Bedouin. These were not educated people. They didn't have an academic degree or academic background. Simple people. Desert dwellers. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those days, grapes were regarded like a delicacy. It wasn't easily available in Medina. Dates used to come from Yemen. It was expensive. It was rare. Grapes. Grapes used to come from Yemen. It was rare. So this ordinary Bedouin, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, in Jannat will there be grapes? In Jannat will there be grapes? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, there will be grapes in Jannat. So then he says, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, how big will one bunch of grapes be? How big will one bunch of grapes be? Obviously, the intelligence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Wahab bin Munabba says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَمْ يُعْتِ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَدْءِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِضَائِهَا مِنَ الْجَنْبِ مِنَ الْعَقْلِ فِي جَنْبِ عَقْلِهِ إِلَّا كَخَبَّةِ رَمْلٍ بَيْنَ رِمَالِ الدُّنْيَا. He says, if the combined uqul and intelligence of every human being, from Adam alayhi salam to the last person to come before Qiyamah, had to be pooled together and equated to one grain of sand, the aql and intelligence of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be all the grains of sand on the surface of the earth. How big is one bunch of grapes? He could have given him some complex mathematical calculation. He could have given him some bamboozling answer. Like nowadays, sometimes people get very impressed when there's an academic speaker and he uses bombastic terms, uses big, big terms in his speech. So confusing that forget the audience, he himself doesn't understand what he said. After that, you ask the people, What a fantastic talk he gave. What did he speak? You understood nothing. But we say very intelligent. That is not intelligence. My good friend, he passed away, Allah fill his qabr with noor. He used to always say it humorously. He says, when I was a little boy in school, my teacher told me to write one composition. So I took a thesaurus and I started looking for all the big words. And I wrote a bombastic composition which I prepared, presented it to the teacher, so that this was the teacher's comments in promulgating your esoteric cogitation, or shall I say psychological observation. I find that you excel in the usage of empty tintinnabulations, and this behoves me to bash you on your proboscis. So he says, from that day onwards I gave it up. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was intelligence. He brings himself right down to the level of the person that is asking the question. He could have confused him. But look at how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answers this. Ordinary farmer. Ya Rasul, how big is one bunch of grapes? What does my Nabi say to him? Have you seen a crow? He says, yes. Or a pigeon. From the time it is born, if it has to fly and fly and fly and fly and fly and fly, don't eat, don't drink, don't sleep for its whole lifespan, if it had to carry on flying, till eventually it drops dead, it will cover one bunch of grapes. And the Sahabi hears this, Allahu Akbar, so big is one bunch of grapes. Then he says, Ya Rasul, how big is one grape then? How big is one grape? You and I will get angry. Hey, bhai, stop asking questions. Stop wasting my time. But this was the show that Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instilled for akhirat. Ya Rasulullah, how big is one grape? Then to look at the example he gives. In the desert climate, the concern is the preservation of water. Water is scarce. So what they would do, the larger animals like ram or ewe, when they would slaughter these animals, they would take the skin of these animals and they would make a water bag out of it and store the water inside to keep it cool. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked this Bedouin, have you observed your father doing that? Preparing a huge bag like this for water from the skin of a ram or a ewe. He says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, one grape will be the size of that. So he says, Ya Rasulullah, if one grape is so big, idhan tushbi'uni wa ahli. He said, then I and my whole family can eat from only one grape. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiles at him and says, wa ammata ashiratik. Wa ammata ashiratik. Forget you and your family, your whole tribe can eat, one grape won't get finished also. Such a jannat. Ata'an ghayra majdood. La maqtu'a wa la mamnu'a. There is no season. That grapes for a season, mango for a season, this for a season, there. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Allah says, whatever you desire in my Jannah, immediately, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and beyond your desires we will give you. Such a Jannah. Such an effort. This month of Ramadan, my Nabi said, increase this. Increase the muzakara of Jannah. Increase the talks of Jannah. The effort to bring the yaqeen of Jannah. The effort to strive for Jannah. In this month, make this decision with Allah that my life is going to become the life of a Jannati on this earth. And my life is everything that is taking me closer to Jahannam, to move away from it. Such an effort was made. Time is limited. There's one incident which occurred. Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi mentions in his Hayat al-Sahaba. This incident is ajeeb because it makes tarjumani. It illustrates for us this effort of what we call zehn sazi, conditioning of the mind, that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make on Sahaba to turn the shauq, to turn the inclination, to turn the jazba away from dunya to akhirat. Away from dunya to akhirat. Away from dunya to akhirat. Today everything is for dunya. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam made that effort on Sahaba that they put the akhirat in front. When Ansari comes to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya Rasulullah, my neighbor, his date tree, the branch, one branch of his date tree overhangs into my garden. Sometimes the tree grows like that. And Ya Rasulullah, the dates from that branch fall into my garden. Tree is his. The dates fall into my garden. Dates are very sweet. My children pick it up. I can't stop them. They want to eat it. My neighbor gets upset, he pulls the dates out of their mouth. I'm constantly having this problem. Ya Rasulullah, what must I do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends for the neighbor. He says to him, I have a proposition for you. What is the proposition? He says, give me that date tree. Make it over to me. In exchange for it, I will give you a tree in Jannah. This wasn't a sahabi, he was a munafiq. So how does he respond? He says, Ya Rasulullah, of all my trees, this particular tree gives the sweetest dates. I'm not prepared to part with it for any price. He says this and he goes away. Nearby in the precincts, overhearing this conversation, is a sahabi. His name is Abu Dah Dah radiallahu ta'ala an. The sahabi was well known in Medina. In this sense, he had a famous orchard. One is one date tree, then is an orchard. The orchard is land with date trees. And in those days, in the center of the orchard, they would have a house and a property where the entire family would move in during the harvesting season. So a huge land, 600 date trees, and a beautiful house, Abu Dahda radiallahu ta'ala anhu had. When he hears this conversation, he goes behind that person. He says, sell me the date tree. That person says, I refuse to sell it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What makes you think I'll sell it to you? Abu Dahda says, name your price. Name your price. That person, as a joke, not serious, because no one would seriously consider this. He said, give me your orchard, I'll give you this one tree. Give me your orchard, the orchard was famous. Give me your orchard, I'll give you the one tree. Abu Dahda says, deal done, don't renege. This man is shocked, he was only joking. He thought he won the lottery. The whole orchard for one tree. He says, of course I won't renege, deal done. Abu Dahda, elated, overjoyed. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, does the same proposition apply to me what you offered him? That tree for a tree in Jannah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Abu Dahda, why are you asking? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I purchased it. Now I am ready to give it to you in exchange for a tree in Jannah. What did you pay for it? What did you pay for it? Abu Dahda says, I gave my orchard. Allahu Akbar. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam realizing the qurbani, the conviction. The conviction in Akhirat, the conviction in Jannah, that caused this type of qurbani. He says to Abu Dahda, oh Abu Dahda, the same proposition does not apply to you. The words in the riwayat, kam min adaqin radah, wadarin fayah, li abid dahda. This I'm not translating, literally I'm translating the mafhum or the crux of this. Oh Abu Dahda, the same proposition does not apply to you. Allah is not going to give you one tree in Jannah. But for every one of the 600 trees in your orchard, Allah is going to give you one orchard in Jannah. When he hears this, he's overjoyed. What is given to Allah, he doesn't want it tainted. So he rushes to the orchard, stands outside, doesn't even enter. Why, it is no longer mine. His wife, Ummu Dahda, and the children are in the house in the center of the orchard. So imagine this. From outside, Abu Dahda is shouting, oh, Ummu Dahda! Come out, come out. The orchard is no longer ours. I have sold it. Naturally, she was insan. Somebody comes home today, tells his wife, you know what? Investment portfolio or the nest egg or the retirement policy or annuity that we were keeping for a rainy day. I sold it. I sold the investment. Naturally, what the woman will ask, what you sold it for? How much you got for it? So she also asked, Abu Dahda, what did you sell it for? What is his response? He says, I sold it for my akhirat. I sold it for my akhirat. If you turn the clock 14 centuries front and reproduce the same conversation, Somebody walks into the house, you know what, the Maulana gave a nice talk in the mosque, and my retirement annuity, the nest egg, I gave it away. I gave it away. What will happen? The tongue lashing that you will get, the words that will be used is not in keeping with the decorum of the masjid to even try to repeat it. Why? Because this effort is not there. Wallah, in Madinah Munawwara, every home was a markaz of iman. The muzakara of qabr, jannat, jahannam, akhirat was alive in every home in Madinah. Men, women, children. Such an effort Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made. That each one's mizaj, each one's temperament. That is why in Tabuk, 30,000 sahaba go out in the path of Allah. When it is time to harvest the dates. And dates is such a crop that if you don't harvest it on its time, you will lose it. At that time, 30,000 men, Medina is empty. The women of the Jews come to the women of sahaba and they say to them, they taunt them, your earners, your providers, your breadwinners, your protectors have left. Now you are helpless, you will be poor, you will starve, you will be hungry. What do the wives of sahaba respond? What is their response? They say, ذهب الأكالون. ذهب الأكالون, the eaters are gone. The eaters, our husbands are gone. وَبَقِيَ الْمَالِكُ الرَّزَّاقُ. Our Malik and our Razik, Allah is still with us. When my husband was here, Allah is my Razik. Now that my husband is gone, Allah is still my Razik. This was the type of iman the women had of that time. So Ummat Dahda shouts, what did you sell it for? He says, I sold it for my akhirat. History records this. History records this. This woman is running with her children out of the orchard, Ummat Dahda, and the children are running. Running, and what is she doing? Shouting at her husband, Rabbi Khalbay, Rabbi Khalbay, Rabbi Khalbay, Mubarak, 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 congratulations. My husband, what a bargain you struck. What a bargain you struck that you gave this orchard for your akhirat. You gave this orchard for your akhirat. This was the mizaj and temperament that Allah's Rasul, Allahu Akbar, Umayr bin Humam, in Badr, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, ta'arradu ila jannah, ta'arradu ila jannatin arduha samawatu wal ard. Go towards that jannat, the breadth of which is equal to the distance between the heavens and the earth. When he hears this, he says, bakin, 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 bakin. How exciting, how exciting. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, ma hamalaka ala qawlika bakin bakin. Umayr, why did you react like this? Why did you say bakin bakin? He says, inni uridu min ahliha. Ya Rasulullah, you have spoken of Jannat. You have described Jannat. Ya Rasulullah, I want to be a resident of this Jannat you are talking about. This is why I said bakin bakin. So what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Innaka min ahliha. Umayr, Umayr, you are a Jannati. You are a Jannati. He's eating some dates. He remonstrates with himself. لَإِنْ حَيِيتُ إِلَىٰ أَنْ أَكُلَ تَمَرَاتِ هَذَا لَكَانَ حَيَاةً طَوِيلًا. For me to remain alive for as long as it takes to eat these dates is too long. The invitation has been given. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu says, I'm a Jannati. Throws the dates away. Rushes forward. On his lips are the words, رَقْضًا رَقْضًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ زَادِي إِلَّا التُّقَى وَعَمَلِ الْمَعَادِي وَالصَّبْرِ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَى الْجِهَادِ وَكُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نَفَادِي غَيْرَ التُّقَى وَالْبِرِّ وَالرَّشَادِي. He says, I'm running to Allah, my pockets are empty. Dunya, I have nothing. كُلُّ زَادٍ عُرْضَةٌ نَفَادِ. O Ummat of Muhammad, Sahaba giving da'wat till the last breath. O Ummat of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to come. Know and understand whatever you will amass and gather of this dunya is coming to an end. Kullu man alayha fan. What will remain? Ghayrat tuqa wal birri wal rashadi. Taqwa will remain. Piety will remain. Amal of akhirat will remain. Saying this, he goes forward. My respected brothers, this month, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, increase asking Allah for Jannat. Increase asking Allah's protection from Jahannam. One hadith, he said, اُطْلُبُ الْجَنَّةَ جُهْدَكُمْ وَهْرَبُوا مِنَ النَّارِ جُهْدَكُمْ. He said, oh my ummah, seek Jannat with everything that you have. Run from Jahannam. Run from Jahannam with everything that you have. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ لَا يَنَامُ طَالِبُهَا. Because the one who seeks Jannat will not rest. The one who seeks Jannat will not rest. The one who seeks protection from Jahannam will not rest. And then what is the problem, my Nabi said? But the problem, my Ummat, is that over this dunya, there is a veil of things, of passions, of ecstasies, of enticements to break Allah's command. And over Jannat, there is a veil of things your nafs does not like. So he said, oh my Ummah, don't fall into the trap of these passions of dunya and destroy your akhirah. Mujahada has to be given, qurbani has to be given, sacrifice has to be given. Inna silatallahi ghaliya, inna silatallahi jannah. The price of Allah is expensive, it's not cheap. The price of Allah is Jannat. Ibrahim bin Adam, once he was using a public toilet, somebody said, pay a few pennies before you can use the facilities. He started crying. They said, why are you crying? He said, this toilet is the home of jinnat, shayateen, najasat. Here I can't enter for free. How am I going to enter Allah's Jannat for free? Jannat is not cheap. Jannat is expensive. Jannat is Allah's prize. Jannat is the goal. My Nabi said, seek Jannat with everything that you have. This is the month to make decision, my respected brothers. Put our akhirat in front. Put Allah's command in front. Those haram activities that are taking us away from Jannat. Now is the time to make tawbah. And more importantly, to change our environment. Go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make that effort not only for our akhirat, for the akhirat of the entire humanity. Allah give us tawfiq wa afiyat.